You know when you're stressed out or maybe tired of the hustle and bustle, when you're not sleeping well, maybe you got arthritis, maybe it's acting up. It's a time bomb and eventually it'll pile up and spill over. Now, especially if you lean towards being a hothead to begin with. Because I remember a certain John Planusen used to say that how you feel determines how you think and how you think determines what you do. In other words, keep your emotions in check and that might just save you from a few more sleepless nights or, who knows, a coup. I'm Nick Blake and today we talk Turkey versus Holland.
As you all know, we had a Second World War. And 1945, Europe was in ruins because everyone bumped the shit out of each other. So a lot of men died, a lot of people died in the Second World War, and a lot of workforce. So the Germans, the French, everyone involved in the Second World War was looking for workers. And everyone was looking in their respective colonies. So the French had colonies in Northern Africa, so they looked for workers over there. The English had colonies in India, so they brought a lot of Indian people to England. The Germans didn't have any colonies. They were trying to establish colonies in Europe. So they asked for different countries. They asked Italy, they asked Portugal, and Turkey. So a lot of Turks said, yeah, sure, why not? We go to Germany, we work 2-3 years, and then we go back. And that was the contract. The Germans said, okay, you come here for work, 2-3 years, and then off again. Okay, no problem. After 2-3 years, the truck said, thank you very much. Here is the money. Okay, thank you. We go. And then the German said, no. Can you stay 2 more years? We got a lot of Aufschwung over here. We got a lot of work. Can you stay 2 more years? Okay, no problem. We stay 2 more years. So we stayed 5 years in general, in common. Okay, let's go. We leave. But no, wait. Hold on a second. We still have a lot of Arbeit for you. Can you come back? So we stayed after 10 years. We said, listen, we like your country and we like the Arbeit and we like the payment, but we're a little bit bored. Can we bring our wives? And you guys said yes. And that was a mistake. Because if there's one thing we Turks can do is multiply. That's true. 1950s, there were 100,000 Turks. Just 100,000 Turks in Germany. Now it's 2011. We have 3 million Turks. We can multiply. We can...
That was a Turkish comedian, Kaya Yanar, explaining where all these Turks, quote-unquote, suddenly appeared in Germany. Now, if you haven't heard about the rift between Ankara and Amsterdam, the story is fascinating. I urge you to Google it. Leaving the few existing tensions between the EU and Turkey on the back burner for a while, namely the migrant deal, EU accession, etc., this latest drop is becoming the one to break the camel's back. So what's it all about? Well, the Dutch government barred Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlut Cavusoglu from flying into Rotterdam, as in literally saying, no, you cannot land here. Then later, Dutch police prevented Turkish Family Minister, I know, who knew they had one, from entering the Turkish consulate before, get this, escorting her back to Germany. That is two faux pas against persons with diplomatic immunity already. No wonder the Turks got upset. Erdogan himself pushed the pedal to the metal by calling the Dutch Nazis, and just recently, Turkey said it would impose various travel sanctions on Dutch diplomats, such as halting all high-level political discussions. It was unclear what the escalation means for economic ties between the two nations, but the Dutch direct investment into Turkey amounts to nearly $22 billion annually, making the Netherlands the biggest source of foreign investment into the country with a share of 16%. To give us a broader overview of the state of affairs, we turn to senior lecturer in the development of defense studies at King's College in London, Bill Park.
It's going to have a negative effect, that's obvious. The Venice Commission has just made a declaration that it feels that it objects to the forthcoming presidential referendum, the terms of the new constitution that will be voted on. It's clear that Turkey is moving away from what you might call EU norms. When you add the tension surrounding this particular incident, I think relationships are diving between most EU countries and Turkey.
Do you think this will have any effect on the EU-Turkey deal on migrants and visa-free regime for Turks?
Well, the migrant issue is in President Erdogan's hand. I mean, he has threatened that he will use it against Europe, and it's possible that he will. The visa-free issue isn't as connected to the migrant issue as Turkey likes to say it is. That was a deal done earlier, and it required Turkey to change various aspects of its law and regulations, which it never did. So I don't think that Turks are going to be allowed visa-free entry into the EU, regardless of the extent to which they carry out the migrant deal or not. But I think the migrant deal, whether he starts allowing people once again to trek towards Europe, this is in Erdogan's hands. He's agreed not to do it, but he's certain that he could do it. I don't think there is harsh rhetoric from both sides. I think the rhetoric from the Turkish side is off the wall. It's quite extreme to accuse Poland under any circumstances of being Nazi and to accuse this German government of being Nazi, I think is just ridiculous. What the Dutch are saying, and the Germans, the Austrians and others are more or less saying the same thing, is that Turkey seems bent on introducing its own political divisions into the domestic political space of European Union countries. No country has the right to do that, to demand that it can hold government rallies on other countries' territories. That is what Turkey seems to think it can demand. And EU countries are within their rights, both in terms of their own domestic law and indeed international agreements.
That was Bill Park explaining the undercurrent of what we, the regular folk, are seeing unfold before our very own eyes. Knowing the Dutch, their history and culture, it might give you a valuable insight into how and why Mark Rutte's decision have been made in light of this bizarre scandal. Now, sure, you might say that upcoming parliamentary elections in the Netherlands, which are the first to be held in the EU after Brexit and Trump, might have something to do with it. Perhaps Erdogan's constitutional referendum that have passed will give him virtually unlimited executive powers is somehow linked as well. Whatever the actual reason for this fallout, you gotta admit, the Dutch are pretty cool, especially when it comes to airports. Here's Bill Bailey explaining why.
Schiphol. Schiphol. Crazy Schiphol. Place.
Yeah.
I went through Schiphol Airport and I had a guitar with me and the bloke said, "Excuse me, what is in the case, please?" And I went, "Oh, here we go, we're looking at drugs." So I opened up and I went, "It's a guitar, it's a guitar." They're so cool, the guys there. I went, "It's a guitar." And he opened it and he went, "That's no guitar, that's a Gibson 71 with a flying pickup." you guys are cool.
Yeah.
Like, hey, splendid. Let's jam a little bit. No, yeah. I've got to go, you're weird.
English friendliness.
Hey, we have an amplifier system in the customs office. Come on, guys.
Well, the Dutch, indeed, they reclaimed a lot of their land because it's low-lying. It's the low countries.
They lie low.
Not by accident.
It's one of the flattest places in the world, Holland. Very, very, very flat.
Yes.
That was the funny Bill Bailey from QI with Stephen Fry. Sure, you may call the Dutch rude, and you absolutely will if you ever dare to walk into the bike lane in Amsterdam. But, for the most part, they're like Germans, but with a little bit of more character. And that character sometimes comes out in various ways. Here's Steve Hughes illuminating us about one of them.
You have a good sense of humor, though. I did the Dutch first when I did European gigs, and that's still the f***ing hardest. You can make them laugh. I've done it. You know, you make the Dutch laugh, they laugh. It's just if you don't make them laugh, they will stare at you till you f***ing cry. No heckling. There's no get off your shit. There's just... It's a profound silence. I stood in front of 300 Dutch people one night. It was so quiet. I'm just standing there thinking to myself, you know, no wonder those Nazis couldn't find that Anne Frank bitch, you know? The Germans are here, be quiet, no problem. Relax, it's a joke. They found her.
That was Steve Hughes giving us a glimpse into Dutch character. It seems that the migrant deal between the EU and Turkey is now over. So are accession talks and the entire range of other issues. What does all this mean? Well, let's wait and see. I've been Nick Blake, and you've been listening to As If.